The following is a paid advertisement. All views and or opinions are solely those of the advertiser and not KLGR or its parent company, Alpha Media, LLC.
Welcome to Treat the Cause, the program dedicated to helping you find and treat the root causes of some of the most common health challenges. Dr. Kyle Pankinen is a board-certified chiropractic orthopedist and certified functional medicine practitioner. Join him as he teaches you about the causes and solutions to the health challenges that affect many people.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kyle Pankin, and I'll be your host today for Treat the Cause. I'm really excited about this episode we have to share with you today. It's a part two of a series on digestive health. If you missed our last episode, we talked about several different digestive conditions, but we really spent time also talking about some of the common functional medicine tests that we use to treat it. I would encourage you to go onto our website, redrockchiro.com, to review that episode. You'll find a tab to our past episodes of Treat the Cause, and I think you'll find that episode to be very beneficial in your search for better digestive health. Today we're going to do a slight bit of review, and then we're going to dig into a little deeper into some of these common digestive conditions that plague so many people, I feel, needlessly in society today. We talked last time about functional medicine, and this is something I'm passionate about. This is something I'm board certified in. Functional medicine is all about helping people find the root causes of their health problems. And I mentioned that that's really what I'm all about in healthcare. I love to help people to try to figure out what the cause is of their particular condition. Yes, I'm interested in symptoms just like anybody is, but I want to know what the underlying dysfunction in the body is, what the functional disturbance is that is leading to those symptoms. And we find that through an in-depth case history, through having patients fill out detailed health history questionnaires and doing some unique laboratory testing that functional medicine doctors are specially trained in. It's kind of like looking under the hood of the car to figure out what's going wrong. Why is that check engine light on? And so this is where functional medicine can really shine, and it fills a void and a niche in today's healthcare world that is sometimes missing, where we're so heavily focused on disease management, symptom suppression, where functional medicine can help to find those root causes and actually, in many cases, help people find cures and full correction and relief of the underlying problem. So that's kind of where we're at to start the day. If you want to email us, our email is redrockchiro@centurytel.net. If you want to get a hold of our office, our number is 507-752-7650, and our website once again is redrockchiro.com. So let's dig into some of these conditions. We're going to talk first about probably the most common digestive disorder that people experience in society, which is called irritable bowel syndrome. Great topic for the radio, huh? Irritable bowel syndrome, the typical patient with this will have stomach digestive upset. They have alternating constipation and diarrhea. Some people have more constipation than the diarrhea. Some people have more of the diarrhea side than the constipation. And at either rate, it used to be for years that nobody really knew what the cause of this was. They would chalk it up to stress or a nervous stomach. And I don't dispute that some people that are under stress can upset their digestion, but there's some really exciting new research out when it comes to this particular condition. They just released a study, in fact it was published last year, where they had a group of patients that had this diagnosis of irritable bowel syndrome, and what they had them do is take a specialized food sensitivity test to see if there were any foods in their diet that they were particularly sensitive to. So they did this test, they identified in these patients any foods that they were sensitive to, and then they had another group of patients with irritable bowel syndrome where they did not do this testing. And what they did is they compared the two groups over time. The group that had the testing done, they had them follow those test results. In other words, if it showed they had a wheat sensitivity or a dairy sensitivity or whatever it was, they had them eliminate those specific foods from their diet. And then the other group that they did no testing on, they kind of just eliminated some common foods that sometimes they feel could be linked to digestive disorders, but it wasn't specific to the test results. And then they compared these two groups over time, and what they found was really fascinating. They found that the group that followed the very specific test results, that they cleaned up their diet based upon the results of this testing, had a dramatically improved reduction of their problem. They had less gas, bloating, far fewer abdominal pains, their constipation, diarrhea symptoms significantly improved, way better than the non-specific diet restriction group. So pretty conclusively, we can say from this study and others that have been done that food sensitivities are a big part of irritable bowel syndrome. So when we have patients with this particular condition, our mainline test that we do is a food safe 95 test. We get a little blood sample from them, we send it into a laboratory, and at the laboratory they test the immune markers in their blood to see, are there any foods that they are sensitive to? Once we get those results back from the lab, we can go over that report with the patient and tell them exactly which foods they need to work on to clean up in their diet. Just that alone, we've seen dramatic results in many cases of irritable bowel syndrome. Other things that we look at commonly with this condition are doing a comprehensive digestive stool analysis. We talked about this test on my last radio show. But what you'll find with this test many times in the person that has irritable bowel syndrome is they have imbalances in the bacteria in their digestive tract. In the digestive tract, there should be a balance of the good guys, I like to say, and the bad guys. You don't want the bad guys to overtake the good guys. And if that happens, many times that can set up an imbalance in the gut and disrupt digestive function. So stool analysis testing, we're able to look at this balance to see, are there any bad guys that have overgrown? Are there any good guys that need to be supported and brought back to a normal level? We do this through the use of targeted strains of probiotics and things of that nature. But bottom line is, a stool analysis is a very valuable test to see, are there imbalances in the gut and how then we then can go to correct those imbalances. The other thing when it comes to irritable bowel syndrome is this condition called SIBO. SIBO stands for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Sometimes on the stool analysis, if we see that they have overgrowth of bad bacteria in the large intestine, many times those bad bacteria have crept up into the small intestine. And this person will also a lot of times have a lot of gas and bloating and abdominal distension because of this bacterial overgrowth. And in this case, we do a unique test called a SIBO test. And I don't have time to go into all the details of the test, but suffice it to say it's a nice test to diagnose to see if there's a bacterial overgrowth in the upper part of the small intestine. Those three tests, the food safe test, the comprehensive digestive stool analysis, and the SIBO test, will usually crack the underlying cause of most cases of irritable bowel syndrome. So get to the root cause. Get to the root cause. That's what this is all about. And those are the tests that help us to get to the root cause of irritable bowel syndrome. Let's change topics now a little bit. Move on from irritable bowel syndrome and talk about gastroesophageal reflux disease or GERD, heartburn, ulcers, things like this. These are commonly treated with your typical antacids, your proton pump inhibitors, as far as medication goes. And I don't dispute for one second that they do help reduce symptoms related to these things, but they don't necessarily always fix the root cause. Interestingly, with cases of heartburn or reflux, sometimes the approach that needs to be taken is just the exact opposite of what it is, what is done. In other words, the typical approach is to try to suppress or block acid production. I find through testing that a lot of times the problem isn't too much acid in the stomach, it's too little. Let me explain. If you eat food and you do not produce enough stomach acid, that stomach acid is there for a reason. It helps you to quickly break down food, to digest it properly. But if you're not producing enough, well, what happens? Well, the digestive process slows, food stays in your stomach longer, and guess what it does many times? It refluxes back up, causing those typical heartburn symptoms, the full sensation in the throat, sometimes the coughing type sensation. So sometimes the treatment actually is not to block or suppress acid, but I have found in many cases the treatment is to give the person little tablets of something called betaine HCl, hydrochloric acid. Give these little tablets right at the beginning of the meal that increases stomach acid and helps them break down their food quicker. And guess what? Food gets broke down quicker, it goes out of the stomach quicker, reflux and heartburn problem goes away. So we use a blood test. It's part of a group of tests called a comprehensive metabolic panel, and we look real closely at the chloride levels, a specific marker in that panel. That will tell us if they have too high or too low of hydrochloric acid in the body, and then we treat accordingly from there. H. pylori, we need to talk about that a little bit. It stands for Helicobacter pylori. It's a specific bad bacterial strain that has been identified to be a common cause of ulcers. Sometimes it can contribute to gastroesophageal reflux or heartburn. And so one test that we do to help diagnosis is we go back to that stool analysis I talked about a few minutes ago. And that stool analysis, like I said, helps us to figure out if there's any bad bacteria, or looks at also the levels of good bacteria. And getting a proper balance of those can also be key to treating some of these digestive disorders in the upper part of the digestive tract. But we also have them, when we order that test, we have them specifically test for this bacteria called Helicobacter pylori. And many times if that's found, that is the root cause. And the key to treating this condition then is to eradicate that bad bug that has overgrown. And there's many different ways, both drug and non-drug alternative ways to fix or to eradicate that bad bacteria. But nevertheless, that is many times the root cause. So if you have ulcers, if you have some of these types of conditions and you've never been tested for that particular bacterial strain, probably a good idea, and we certainly can do that. Also, on going back to that metabolic panel, you need to look closely at liver function, gallbladder function. Sometimes we also test pancreas function. These are all essential organs in the body that help to promote proper digestive health. Many times the problem is not only insufficiency of hydrochloric acid, as we've talked about, but sometimes the problem with these conditions is that the body is no longer producing the right amounts of digestive enzymes. And these come from these different digestive organs, liver, gallbladder, pancreas. Sometimes the solution lies in figuring out, are one of these organs a little sluggish? Are they not producing enough digestive enzyme? And if they're not, one helpful thing for many people is to take a little supplement of some of these digestive enzymes. So, and then finally, under this topic of reflux and heartburn and ulcers. It's also important with any digestive disorder to look at the foods in the diet. So going back to the FoodSafe 95 test, that is our test of choice to look at the foods in the diet to see if one has any sensitivities. Just that alone, finding that, cleaning up the diet can make a major difference in whether one has heartburn, reflux, ulcers, and some of these digestive disorders. I don't care what the digestive problem is, you gotta get the diet right. And so we don't like to guess, we don't like to fool around with this. Let's do the testing and figure out if there's anything in the diet that is causing these types of problems. If you got a question, give us a call at 507-752-7650 or look us up online at redrockchiro.com. Feel free to email us at redrockchiro@centurytel.net. We're going to talk about one other area that encompasses several different digestive disorders now, and that being an autoimmune disorder. Certain of these digestive disorders are autoimmune, namely celiac disease, Crohn's disease, and ulcerative colitis. And millions of Americans suffer with these types of conditions. And they are all three distinct entities, but they have a common denominator in that they are autoimmune disorders. And autoimmune disorders have very common root causes that need to be addressed. I would refer you at this moment to look up a book called The Autoimmune Fix. It's written by a doctor called Dr. Tom O'Brien. It's probably the best book I've ever read on the topic of autoimmune disorders. If you have an autoimmune disorder, of which there's dozens of them, we're going to talk about the celiac, the Crohn's, and ulcerative colitis today, but the information that book will help you to crack some of the root causes of these autoimmune disorders. Some of the testing that is talked about in there is some of the testing that I do in my own clinic, functional medicine-wise, for helping people find the root causes. But bottom line is, Dr. Tom O'Brien is probably the authority today on autoimmune disorders, and he's written a great book for the public called The Autoimmune Fix. So check it out if you have autoimmune disorder or anybody in your family does. It's well worth the read. So let's talk about these autoimmune disorders in general. All autoimmune means is that your body's own immune system, so there's been a glitch in it. Something has gone haywire, and now your immune system is turned on you and it's attacking certain parts of you. So in the case of Crohn's or colitis, or celiac, the attack is actually happening in the intestinal tract itself and causing erosions and all inflammation and all kinds of digestive problems and pains in the digestive tract. Real fascinating research on this. Autoimmune disorders have to have a trigger. In other words, a lot of people that get these have some type of a genetic susceptibility, but something has to trigger or turn those genes on. And there's a few of them that they're showing or identifying. Probably the most common one is gluten. Gluten is a protein that is found in wheat products and certain other grains that is very difficult for the body to digest. But it seems as if from research it's a growing problem in the United States. Celiac disease really is a total intolerance and autoimmune reaction to gluten, but they're also finding with Crohn's, colitis, and all autoimmune disorders for that matter, that gluten is many times the trigger, the switch, if you will, that turns these autoimmune disorders on. And what happens is, if you eat gluten and you have a sensitivity to it, or if you have, say, other food sensitivities to be to dairy or to nuts or certain seeds or whatever it is in your diet you have sensitivity to, it starts to create inflammation and immune responses in the gut. And over time, it can start to create erosion or a breakdown of the intestinal lining. And then what happens is it sets up a condition in your gut called leaky gut syndrome. And basically what that is some of the larger undigested protein molecules that are supposed to stay inside of the gut sometimes can begin to escape or leak out. And suddenly they're in a spot in the body where they're not supposed to be. They can get in circulation, and then your immune system says, hey, you guys aren't supposed to be here. And it begins to treat that as a foreign invader and begins to attack it. So if these protein molecules, for instance, maybe through circulation end up by or near the thyroid, or if the constituent components of that protein molecule are similar to the proteins or some of the material in the thyroid, guess what? It attacks them there, but it also begins to attack your thyroid. You get autoimmune thyroiditis, or what is called Hashimoto's. If in circulation these particles get into your joints and your immune system begins to attack them there, guess what? You get an autoimmune disorder that attacks the joints, or rheumatoid or arthritis. If you get one that maybe attacks your skin, guess what? You get psoriasis or psoriatic arthritis. You get the idea here. Wherever this stuff, when this stuff leaks, wherever it goes in the body, it can attach different areas. The body gets caught in the crossfire, and you can kind of get an idea now of how some of these autoimmune disorders start. So we test for people with these autoimmune disorders. We do very specific gluten tests, both for celiac disease and for something called non-celiac gluten sensitivity. We do more extensive food sensitivity testing on these people to find if there are any other foods in their diet that are triggering their problems. We also have a very specific test that we do to diagnose to see if they have leaky gut. It's called an intestinal antigenic permeability screen. And these tests help us to figure out root causes. Are there any foods? Is there gluten? Is there something that is stimulating the immune response, the erosion of the gut? Is there erosion in the lining of the gut with the leaky gut test? And then we also do our stool analysis on these people to look at the bad bugs, to see what the levels of the good guys are, to measure levels of inflammation in the gut. And then the treatment is based upon the test results. Certainly we want to clean up the diet. We want to then do things to fix and heal the gut, and we have specific protocols for that. And many times, certainly, these autoimmune disorders are treated with certain anti-inflammatories and strong medications to suppress immune response. And that is many times necessary in cases where it's out of control or the symptoms are severe. But again, with functional medicine, we're able to look under the hood and find some of those root causes. So this is kind of a general rundown of some of the more common digestive disorders, some of the functional medicine testing. And again, we use those functional medicine tests to guide our treatment then. If you have an interest in getting started with this approach, I would look on our website. There's a questionnaire that you can fill out. It's a functional medicine health questionnaire. You can contact our office at 507-752-7650, and we can email this questionnaire to you. You get that questionnaire filled out. It goes into a detailed health history. That's the start of the process. Then once I get that questionnaire back, I review it, and then we sit down for a free consultation where we talk about your health history, in detail, your current symptoms, and then we talk about what specific functional medicine tests would be appropriate for your case. And then we set up an appointment if you want to proceed. I have a nurse that helps me conduct these tests. We get these tests sent into the laboratories. We get the results back. I review them in detail, and then I put together a plan of action on how to go about treating, fixing, attacking the root cause of the underlying condition. Let's face it, if you're living with chronic digestive disorders, it not just affects your health, but it affects your life, your relationships. It can interfere with your job and just your enjoyment of life in general. You owe it to yourself to try to find the root cause and not just treat and rely on treating the symptoms. It doesn't get you anywhere in the long run. Your health continues to erode, and finding the root cause is a much better approach. In conclusion, I would just like you to look at that website in a little bit more detail, redrockchiro.com. You'll find all kinds of information on functional medicine there. You'll want to listen to our upcoming episode of Treat the Cause on April 14th at 11:30 a.m. on KLGR. And we're going to talk next month all about headaches, their common causes, different kinds of headaches, and how we go about finding the root cause of the headache and then treating it. Thank you for joining me today on Treat the Cause. We look forward to talking to you on April 14th again with our next episode.
Thanks for listening to Treat the Cause with Dr. Kyle Pankinen. Dr. Pankinen owns and operates Red Rock Chiropractic Center in Lamberton. You can learn more about the practice and request an appointment by visiting redrockchiro.com or by calling 507-752-7650. Red Rock Chiropractic has convenient hours to fit your schedule. Once again, you can contact them at redrockchiro.com or call 507-752-7650. Be sure to tune in next time for Treat the Cause with Dr. Kyle Pankinen.
The preceding was a paid advertisement. All views and our opinions are solely those of the advertiser and not KLGR or its parent company, Alpha Media, LLC.